Get numerous copies, hand it out to your friends, to your Romans and countrymen and so on. They need to hear the message. And again, become a partner with us. Day after day, we're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. It's a tough job. We need your assistance. We need your prayer and your resources. Send them to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend Bob Chapman, the international forecaster, as we begin talking about what's really going on in the economy, the information you are not going to get elsewhere. But before we do that, I want to bring you up to date on the dreaded swine flu and, of course, this massive program that our government has to protect the lives of the American people. And they're so concerned, they've bought 195 million shots of this vaccine, and they want to, of course, immunize all the children, even though the people who put out the product said, don't give this to children less than, well, with the flu mess, this is when you inject up the nose. Don't give it to children less than 2 years of age, because when you do, we get 4.4% hospitalization. The children get sick and go in the hospital, but don't you worry, our government wants to protect children. They're going to give it even though the producers of the vaccine say you shouldn't do it, and then, of course, with the regular vaccine, they're not supposed to be given to children less than 4 years of age because they get so many reactions to it. But don't you worry, the government's there to help us. The most amazing part of the whole story is, by the middle of October, when they're ready for to start the vaccination program, and they're going to force people all across the country, at least healthcare workers, many areas are going to be told, you will either take the vaccine or, you know, you'll lose your job. We got a call today from New York where this woman who's worked in a medical institution for years was told she was going to not only lose her job, but lose her pension if she didn't take the swine flu vaccine by the middle of October. The epidemic will be over. It's peaking out now. It's already on the decline in California and certainly other states, and it's sweeping across the South. And certainly 3 weeks from now, when 4 weeks from now, when they start their vaccination program, why, of course, the epidemic will have peaked. The majority of the people who are going to get infected will be infected, and vaccination will do nothing but re-stimulate the immune system and produce far more problems than good. Well, with that as a background, Bob Chapman, thanks so much for being with us tonight. Oh, let's get Bob on here. Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Yeah, it's a dreadful situation. The size of our publication, I think, has gone up 5 pages. And the reason being that we've had so much to report on the different views of outside the box of what really is going on with the vaccine, et cetera.
Well, I'm far more worried about the vaccine. The disease is so mild that a majority of the people who get the disease don't even know they've had the disease, or they get a little. My wife had some aching of her legs there, calves, for a couple of days and felt bad, and now she's just fine. But an awful lot of people get the disease, and they have no idea they had the disease. But they can't tell the American people that. They've got to frighten them. I never saw such a propaganda campaign, but right now, we want to talk about what's going on financially. Things are really getting better, like they say, Bob?
No, I don't think so. Even Alan Greenspan said this past weekend that if they continue to do what they're doing, they're going to have inflation, not 3 to 5%, but up in the teens. And he's right. I'm just writing a report. Just stunning figures we just received. In the second quarter, 50% of all net U.S. Treasury issuance was absorbed by the Federal Reserve.
Hold that. Okay, Bob, go right ahead. Bob was just saying that 50% of the Treasury notes that were bought, the notes, bills, and bonds bought, were actually bought by the Federal Reserve. That's what's called monetization, isn't it?
It is, and it came to $164 billion. And if you put all of the other buyers together, the households, the foreigners, the primary dealers, they got $158 billion, so it was a little bit more than 50%. Now, that cannot continue, because no matter what the deflation undertow is, they'll have to continue to do this in such great numbers, we've got to have hyperinflation. And, of course, that means the dollars go into some great dark pit. And we're in serious trouble.
Well, I don't think there's any question we're in serious trouble. And of course, there is no better way to destroy a nation than to debauch the currency. And they know exactly what they're doing. They just want the American people to know. And certainly what a wonderful way, of course, to leave the Chinese and the Japanese and the Arabs and the other people who bought our bonds, hang them out to dry. We simply destroy the value of the currency and we pay them back in useless dollars. Won't that be a wonderful way of getting out of our debt?
That's right. And that's part of what they're up to. And 64.5% of foreign exchange reserves by other countries are in the U.S. dollars. So all of these countries who have played along with the U.S. have been forced to, as they do a lot of coercion and extortion. And the American people know nothing about that, but I do because, you know, I've lived all over the world. And I have people high in government, sometimes ex-presidents, tell me at dinner that this is what's going on. And so they're going to take a terrible loss. They're going to probably lose somewhere around two-thirds of their holdings, and so won't everybody else. And I think, as I've said before, that down the line here, 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever, there will be official devaluation and default, and the dollar will probably be devalued by two-thirds, in other words, three old ones for one new one. And there'll be a big meeting where they'll do that and revalue and devalue.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob is simply saying that down the line, Sydney has 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years. Well, they're going to have an official devaluation of the dollar. You'll get back maybe $1 for every three of the old dollars, or maybe a few more, maybe a few less. But this is how you pay off your debt. There's no way they can possibly pay off the debt that they've accrued. I mean, suddenly, according to David Walker, who used to be with the GAO, You know, he just said, you know, the real debt's about $56 trillion, and that was as of last year. By this year, it's far less. And the real deficit every year is not, you know, this year is supposed to be, what, a couple of trillion dollars, but it's really plus probably $6 or $8 trillion. When you consider the, if you use the general accepted accounting practices, so-called GAAP, means of accounting, why, certainly, because they, supposed to be putting money away for Medicare payments in the future and Social Security payments in the future. And the one thing that Barack Obama said is true, and that is there's no way to get federal spending under control without getting Medicare spending under control. And, of course, you're going to have to cut way back on the amount of money you're spending on the elderly. You're going to have to, you're not going to admit that it's a Ponzi scheme. You're not going to admit you're going to kill the elderly, but you're just going to withhold care. But it's going to be done by a bureaucracy in Washington, D.C., that is concerned about the stability and financial stability of our nation. So we're just going to let the older people die. They call those death panels. Certainly President Obama says they don't exist in his bill, and they don't. They've already been passed. They were in the stimulus bill, but we can't let the American people know that. Well, Bob, certainly as we're looking and going on financially in Sydney, we had this big meeting this last weekend of the G20, and they said they're going to do all sorts of things, but do we have any idea what they're really going to do?
Well, I don't know that we've even heard what they think they want to do that they're willing to tell the public. I mean, I haven't seen anything concrete yet. Most of it's just gobbledygook, and we'd like to do this, and we'd like to do that, and nothing further than that.
Well, they recommended that the federal government decrease spending and the people start saving more here in the United States. People will save more, the government will cut back on spending. And how are we going to cut back on spending? Well, we're going to massively increase spending on health care. We're going to massively increase the spending on, on the environment. And somehow that is going to, cut spending in the United States. We're, of course, going to increase the spending on the military. And, in fact, just about every aspect of government went up about 5% this year. But the G20 suggested that the United States should, cut spending and the citizens should start saving. And everybody agreed that's what we need to do.
Well, if they do that, then the consumerism will drop, probably down to 64.5 from 69.5 where it is now, down from 72 before. And that means that we're going to have a further reduction in GDP consumer spending. And if that happens, that means that we would probably go into a deflationary depression or a Weimarization of the economy. In the early 20s in Germany, they had the Weimar Republic, and they had to repay reparations to the Allies for the terrible things that they did by starting World War I. And so they had to pay all these countries back, except for the United States, who refused to take any money or anything else. And so they pumped up their currency like we are, and continue to spend for different reasons, but the ultimate outcome could very well be the same, where people were going to work and the wives would come at noontime with wheelbarrows to carry the money down to the butcher and the baker and the candlestick maker in order to spend it before it was worthless at the end of the day. And we could get into that kind of situation. I don't think so, but it's possible if they continue to do what they're doing.
Well, certainly they are going to continue spending. They have no intention at all of cutting back government spending. And it looks like they're going to vote about $1.6 trillion deficit this year. Do we have any idea? Because the fiscal year ends at the end of this month, 30th of September.
Yeah, it's on the 30th, and and it's anywhere between 1.6 and 2 trillion. We just don't know yet. We'll find out probably in a month and a half or two.
Well, you were talking about, you know, how they, you know, in 1 week they have to raise money, of course, so at the end of the year they're fiscally solvent. What was it, $130 billion they were borrowing, something like that, in a week?
Well, I don't know the weekly figure, but it's incredible.
And, of course, we're just simply creating the money to do that because other countries aren't buying our bonds. And, of course, some of the European countries are buying our bonds, but that's because we gave them the money to buy the bonds with. And so what about the Chinese? My understanding is that they're gradually trying to divest themselves of government bonds, both T-bills and agency debt. Is that true?
Well, they are, and they have been since the beginning of the year at about $60 billion a month. But they did buy $24 billion worth of bonds in August. I don't know if I believe those figures or not, but anyway, those are the figures. And the Japanese increased their holdings. But my guess is they laid off that, you know, those bonds elsewhere. And they're just not going to continue to do what they were doing, which is accumulating dollars, because it's not to their best interest to do so. And so they will continue to relieve themselves of these tremendous amounts of dollars that they have. And one of the ways they'll do that is to buy up commodities and buy future production of commodities, and such, you know, not only food but oil and so on. And but I think one of the keys is, I think they're going to buy a lot of gold, and I think they have been. And this is the time of year when they have two big Indian holidays in India, and people buy gold, one for the wedding, the wedding season, and then the other one is another fiesta, whatever it's called. Called Diwali, and there's a lot of gold concerns. So right now the Indians as well as the Chinese are buying hand over fist.
I was really fascinated by something I read in the International Forecaster, where you said that the Chinese government was actively encouraging the average Chinese citizen to buy gold and silver, and they've actually set up shops in every major town, and they're encouraging their people to put their money into gold and silver. Could you imagine that happening here? Our government's saying, look, we want you to have something of intrinsic value, but that's the last thing our leaders want. The last thing they want the American people to know is that they are intentionally and purposely and maliciously destroying the value of our currency, and with that, the savings and pensions and annuities and insurance policies of every American. But the Chinese, average Chinese person is actually buying gold and silver, aren't they, at government's encouragement?
Yes, that's true. And the main reason for that is that they want people, individuals as well as companies, to get rid of their dollars. And that's why they're telling them, you know, get those dollars and go buy gold with them, because that's better. And they have a thing that they give cards out, they call lucky golden passes and that sort of thing. And so they're being successful. So one of the things that the U.S. government can't rig is the physical gold market. I mean, you either have it or you don't. And one of the things that's proved very difficult for the governments, particularly the U.S. Treasury, in managing the gold price, and that's what they call it. I call it manipulation. And in managing the gold price has been, they're out of gold. And that's why every morning, with the exception of a few recently, and they're usually on a Monday, the physical selling from Europe has disappeared. And most every evening in Japan, the evening our time, the Japanese in the TOCOM, and then following that in London, usually the prices are slightly higher. And so in order to make those markets go down, they got to have physical, and they obviously don't have it, or at least they don't want to sell anymore. And so it's only a matter of time before gold is substantially higher.
Well, have you heard anything more? Apparently, that you wrote about a week ago, that the German government, the German bank, actually asked to have their gold that was stored here in the United States returned to them. The Chinese, I guess people in Hong Kong and certainly in the Arab countries had asked for the gold they had stored in London to be returned to them. Is any of the gold being returned?
No, they have been refused. And, you know, they won't say why or what or anything else, but they've been refused. And Dubai's trying to collect from London. They're getting a runaround. And then Hong Kong wants to take delivery there, and London's giving them a runaround as well.
Do you think if they don't have the gold that's already been sold and simply they can't return it because they don't have it? We'll be back in just a moment with Bob Chapman. You think that maybe the gold is all gone and they don't want to admit it?
It could very well be the case, and I know.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iOtterol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Late 24 Liberty or 464-8295, but basically, Bob, certainly today, for instance, they knocked the price of gold down below $1,000 an ounce. I think it ended up one of $1,005, $1,006 an ounce. They knocked silver down, 50 cents or so an ounce. So what is really going on? Why at this time are they have so much pressure on gold and silver?
Well, Thursday is the monthly option expiration, and in front of a government and the CFTC, Commodity Futures Trading Corporation, they just gang up on the market to drop the price down, in this case, to less than 1,000, so that they wouldn't have to deliver against those contracts. And it's out and out, bald-faced thievery every month. And I don't know how anybody can buy in that market knowing that. The market on gold closed spot today, 1003.20, down 6. But the access market was up $1.20. So I think gold might be up a wee bit in the morning, maybe go sideways. And I think the same thing will happen on Wednesday. And then I think on Thursday that they will close gold at $999.90 so that these people can exercise. And as soon as they finish doing that, then the market will start to move back up again.
Now, these are options. What you're suggesting is that they're manipulating the market so the people who have invested in options in gold will lose. I mean, the way the game is played is we win, they lose. And then after they've lost, then the market will take, market forces will take over. Is that, in essence, what you're saying?
Right. And I think this time that we're going to break through and go to 12, 16, 1700. I don't know. Who knows? I just can't answer the question, but it's going higher. How much higher, I just don't know. But we're on our way.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and people have to understand that there's a small little clique, I call them Brotherhood of Darkness, but you can call them what you want to, and they manipulate the price of gold and of silver, they manipulate the price of oil, they manipulate commodities in the stock market. The group that manipulates the stock market is known as the Working Group on Financial Markets, Working Group on Financial Markets, or the Plunge Protection Team. You can read about it on the Internet. All of this is well known to people who are suddenly working behind the scenes. They just want the American people to think that it's supply and demand, or the market gets overbought, or all of these explanations, whereas, of course, it's all manipulated, just as our reality is manipulated, our finances are manipulated by those people who work silently in the shadows. Let's go to Ray calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Haven't heard from you in a couple of weeks. How have you been?
A couple months, actually.
Okay, fine.
But, I don't want to go too far afield, but, I had something to say, if you permit me to say it. I think that within maybe 10 years we'll be a cashless and checkless society. I can see right now, well, if you go on vacation, you notice that you rent a car or a motel room or something like that, they always demand that you have a credit card. You can't use cash anywhere without a credit card. It's insanity. And I've noticed this, and I just have this feeling, I have a hunch that they want to do away with currency and maybe checks first and then have everything electronic debt transfer. And then, of course, coinciding with that is this pressure to have RFI chips.
All right, fine. Let's get Bob's response. So Ray is just saying he thinks they want to take us into a cashless society. What do you think?
Well, I think he's absolutely correct. They're just having a hard time doing it. And I think the only way they can bring that about is through total economic failure and probably revolution. And they think that they're going to be the winners in the revolution. And I get news for them. It's not going to happen that way. They have embarked on one of the most dangerous missions to implement total control and population control, eugenics, etc., in the last 1,000 years. And this time, they're going to get caught. And this time, they're not going to escape.
And I think Bob's absolutely right. We'll be back in just a moment here, and give us a call if you're out there. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Anything else you wanted to say, Ray?
Well, I think Bob's on the mark with what he said. I really don't see them succeeding. There's too many good people. I can see it. I can feel it. I can feel people changing. People are not trusting the credit card companies. Of course, they're jacking their interest rates up to 30%, you know, in most cases. People are now, they're starting to realize that what they've done, the mistakes that they made over the past 10 or 20 years, you know, with money. So I can see some hope, you know.
Basically, Ray, there's a book. We quote it in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. It's called Looking Backwards, written about in the early 1880s by a man named Edward Bellamy. And basically, it's a story of course, a man going to sleep and waking up like Rip Van Winkle, but in the year 2000. And one of the things it talks about is how, at that point, a credit card would be just as good in Europe as gold once was. Now, remember, this book was written, 130 years ago. This is all part of a long-range plan, and if you look in the Bible, you'll find out that the ultimate goal is a cashless society where you neither buy nor sell unless you have the mark. So it's going to be fascinating to see it unplayed. Just stay close to the Lord, and you try to help us get the word out, okay?
Definitely, okay.
God bless, and thanks so much. Let's go to John calling from Texas. Hi, John. How are you doing?
Not too bad, but you know, one thing about this cashless thing, what they have done in the last 10 to 15 years, they got rid of food stamps. And so, really, a lot of people didn't pay no attention because everybody's poor, that's on welfare, all that. And, you know, they put this, they put their money, you know, for the food stamps on that card. And then if these women, you know, have children or something, they put money on that card. And they've been doing this for the last 10 or 15 years. So a lot of this stuff, they've worked out through that.
Well, this is all long-range planning, but they don't want the American people to know the truth. I think you're absolutely right. Anything else, John?
Well, about a month ago, I went to a Bank of America, and I had a two-party check, you know, so I didn't have my account there. So anyway, I put my driver's license up on the counter, and the girl really didn't even, you know, paid that much attention. Then she just said, swipe your driver's license, just like, you know, a credit card type of deal. And then I went to a Wachovia, you know, a little later, and they did the same thing. And so yesterday I went to a Kroger's, and I was going to buy a six-pack of beer. And they wanted me to give them my driver's
license. Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we have John on the line from Texas talking about Sidney. He's in Texas, and Sidney, when he goes to the bank, to a, not his local bank, but to a bank that he doesn't have an account with, and they simply don't even look at his identification. They just swipe the credit card, and this has happened at several banks. And, of course, the concern is we're moving towards a cashless society. I think he's absolutely right. Anyway, God bless you, John. Thanks so much for calling.
What I'd like to say, though, is that every major grocery store in the last 2 days, you know, I didn't realize they had G20 summit, but what I think they're doing is they're implementing this real ID thing. And it's a thing where you can't buy beer in any major grocery store around here without showing, you know, giving them your ID, which I haven't done, so I don't know if they're going to swipe it or not. But I guarantee you the next thing they're going to do is when you go in there and you buy food, even though you've got cash or a check or a credit card, they're probably going to want your driver's license and swipe it.
Maybe they do. They want to know they want to know everything about you. Anyway, thanks very much for calling, John. And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Bob Chapman. Do you have any comment at all on what John was saying?
No, other than what they are doing, and they're going to continue to try to do it. I haven't lived in the United States for a long time, and so I'm not familiar with approaching those kind of things, but I haven't used a credit card for 15 years, I don't think. And I've been able to get around all right, but I live in a cash world, and most people in Latin America do, and so they haven't reached the point where people use checks, or even if they do, there's not many of them that they use, and maybe 15% used credit cards, maybe 20. And that's it. In the bigger cities, you'll find they use them more. But overall, they just haven't made any kind of inroads into the Latin American economies with that sort of thing.
And I think that we ought to start getting away from them as much as we can. They are so convenient. And when you go up to the check stand, all you do is swipe your card. When you buy your gas, all you do is swipe your card. I think what we ought to do if we love America is start using cash again. Well, certainly our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But before we go on, Bob Chapman, would you like to go ahead and give out your telephone number, your website, and tell people how they could subscribe to the International Forecaster and, in fact, why they should and must subscribe to the International Forecaster?
Well, the Forecaster is about business, finance, economic, social, and political issues all over the world. We publish on Wednesdays and Saturdays, usually runs around 35 or 40 pages. We have a hard copy for those who are not on the Internet that goes out twice a month. And you can get a free introductory copy by going to one of three places. The site on the Internet, the address, TheInternationalForecaster.com. The International, FORECASTER.com. Email us at bob@intforecaster.com. bob@intforecaster.com. We can call toll free 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
All right, fine. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience and you would like to know what's really going on financially, let me recommend the International Forecaster. And if you'd like to talk to Bob, our number here is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And certainly here in the Central Coast of California at 1-800-464-8295. And people have to understand that we are living in the most dangerous financial times I believe our nation has ever faced. There are people who I have a great deal of respect for who said this is the worst financial collapse that's occurred in 100 years. Some say 200 years. Some people even say 300 years. The whole financial structure of the world is coming down because, of course, it's built upon sand. It's a purely a paper economy. And, of course, people are beginning to want something that is secure. And the only way that this is being maintained today and kept from collapsing is pouring out all sorts of more paper money. Of course, you created a problem with paper money, and they're trying to solve the problem by pouring out more paper money. But, of course, eventually, of course, as you just create the money, increase the money supply, you begin to lead to inflation. Now, of course, Ben Bernanke says, why, of course, I'm so smart, I'm so smart that I wouldn't let inflation come. When we start to get inflation, then I'll mop up the money. Now, this is the same Bernanke who missed the last recession. Apparently, people have looked at his income tax finding. He lost a fortune. He lost about half of his fortune when the market dropped out. But he tells us, just trust him. He's going to be able to prevent us from having inflation. But if he starts pulling money out of the economy, then the economy collapses. If he keeps it pouring money into the economy, he destroys the value of our currency. Doesn't sound to me that like they got very good options, do they, Bob?
No, they're very, very bad options, actually. And, you know, it's just like you said earlier in the program, consumers save, pay down your debt, but if you do that, you can't consume. And so they're in a box and they can't get out, and they're just running in circles, and there's nothing they can do about the situation except extend it, and that's what they're doing.
Here in California, they will acknowledge a 12.2% inflation. Other states have a 12.2% unemployment. Other states have 14%. Average, they say it's 9.7%. According to Bob, it's really, if you take in all the factors, it's well over 20%. That's the unemployed, the underemployed, and the people who've just given up looking for work. And Cynthia, how can you get an economy going when there are no new jobs? You keep losing jobs all the time. It takes about 130,000 new jobs every month just to take care of all the new people coming into the labor market. And instead of creating the new jobs, we continue losing jobs. In fact, the only good employer in the entire nation is the federal government, the state government. Even local governments are laying off. So what's the next shoe to drop as far as you're concerned? Do you see anything major on the financial horizon?
Well, I think we're going to go sideways for about a year. And I think that the GDP will raise slightly. And I think that unemployment will get a little bit worse, but not too much worse. But it's not going to get better. It could fluctuate between 21 and 25% over the next year. It's 21 right now. And I think that that situation is again, another sideways movement. But they're going to find next year that what they must do is either have a stimulus program of $2 trillion or so, or they are going to have to have banks begin increasing the amount of money that they lend to people, if the people are there to borrow it. And with that said, if they do that, then it could be a combination of both, or it could also be just one or the other. But we'll have to see what they do. Will Congress balk? I don't know. I do know that there's a tremendous amount of pressure to to do these things. And I see that as the only way out for them.
How about a war? I mean, war is always a great way to get the economy going. And so they're doing everything they can to convince the American people that the government we installed in Iran in 1979, that's the Ayatollahs, installed by the American CIA, and now, of course, they're being vilified. Of course, we've been covering for them ever since then. The fellow that they sent to prison for the Lockerbie bombing and now has been released, and he's saying, look, I didn't do it. I mean, he's completely free. And he's saying, look, I didn't do it. I was a patsy, and I think he was. This was an Iranian operation, and we covered for the Iranians until recently. And now, of course, we're vilifying them and demonizing them. I think that there's almost like a timetable, and they were holding off the war with Iran until, well, sometime about this time. I don't know when it's coming, but everything points in that direction. Don't you think that they believe that they can get out of this terrible hole by getting us into another war, as Franklin Delano Roosevelt did back in 1941?
Yeah, I do, and I predicted that, and I don't know where it'll be, but that's what they're going to try to do. They've got a war in Afghanistan and Pakistan now. Where it will be next, I don't know. But there's a good chance that it could be in Iran. We don't know, won't know until it happens. I know that they have not been able to subdue the forces in Afghanistan. There's 100,000 mercenaries there, and about 60,000 troops, and so. They're asking for another 100,000 troops. And, you know, really what they need, I guess, is a million. So they're going to extend the war. The president said that he was not for war and he was going to do away with that. And, of course, that hasn't happened. All he's done is follow the demands of the shadow government, the power behind government, the forces of darkness. And he's one of them, and he's doing exactly what they tell him to do. And it's going to be disastrous in the end, so I don't see anything getting any better.
All right, fine. But if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Bob, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Now, the stock market's been looking pretty good. My goodness, it's getting up pretty close to 10,000. Isn't that great?
Well, this is a mechanism of short covering, poor leadership, government intervention, with the help of Illuminous Banking and the brokerage firms, and they just can continue to fiddle with these markets. But there's going to come a time when they're not going to be able to do it anymore, and that time is drawing close. We're going to go back down again. As gold goes up, the dollar goes down. Even commodities, I think, will base off and not be as high as they have been in the past. As long as China's a large buyer because they want to get rid of dollars, I suppose commodities will hold up. But the real answer is gold and silver.
Well, certainly, basically, as we look and see what's going on, I think the whole world is frantic because the whole world's economy is tied to the economy here in the United States. And suddenly they realize, of course, if the dollar is destroyed, their economy is going to be destroyed. And I really believe that that is the ultimate goal. This is what's certainly inferred by Henry Kissinger in his classic article on the 12th of January of this year in the New York Times called A Chance for a New World Order, where he said, you know, out of this coming strife throughout the world, countries are going to have two choices. One is, you know, joining this new economic order that we're going to be producing, or two, chaos. And, of course, I believe that's why they have to collapse the economy here again, ready to bring the whole world to chaos. Well, we've got Bob calling from Arkansas. Let's see. Bob, do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to say I appreciate your show.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate Bob Chapman. I know personally that he answers emails. What I'd like, I've heard, but I don't remember the amount, you recommend that a certain amount of money be kept in cash in hand. How much is that, and why would you recommend it be in little bills instead of, say, 50s or 100s? Or...
Well, if you're going to use U.S. currency in an economy that has had a bank holiday, and it may last for a long time, but, you know, at least $5,000 in small bills are usable, and if they're still accepted, in the beginning they will be, and people will be using these small bills to pay different things. I don't think that we're going to be able to have a full-grown commerce system. I mean, I think everything will virtually shut down. The ability of the economy to supply food and gasoline and things like that after about a week will be impossible. And so some people will have things, some people won't. They'll barter with dollars first, and then after that what they'll do is they'll use gold and silver coins or things. I'll trade you a package of razor blades for a carton of cigarettes, whatever. And that's the way things will go until there's some semblance of order in government again. And that could take a long time. And that's why people need weapons to defend their families, because there'll be bad people out there and say, well, I don't have anything left, so I got to go take it from somebody down the street. And that's when it gets nasty. And so having some small amount of cash around for emergencies is good. And all of the other things that I recommended, including a water filter. And I think that's an insurance start, so to speak. And then I guess you got to hope for the best from there, because people won't be able to drive their vehicles because there won't be any gasoline to do so.
Amen to that. Well, we'll be back in just a moment here with Bob Chapman. Bob, do you have anything else you wanted? Bob from Arkansas, do you have anything else you wanted to ask?
So basically, what I think I'm hearing...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, you know, America is changing, but most of the changes that are taking place seem to be designed to take away our freedom. And what can you do to remedy the current situation? Well, you can become informed, and one of the best ways to become informed is to subscribe to Republic Magazine, because that magazine provides the information that's suppressed in most other news magazines. If you want to oppose the effort to establish a one-world government, if you want to preserve freedom here in the United States and throughout the world, I suggest you subscribe to Republic Magazine, and you can do that by calling 1-800-873-1620. That's 800-873-1620, or access their website at www.republicmagazine.com. That's republicmagazine.com. I suggest you get extra copies for your family and your friends.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-
program with Bob Chapman as we try to keep you abreast of what's going on, but we're living in very uncertain times. And you must understand, behind everything going on are powerful spiritual forces that are simply guiding the course of this nation, and you can't understand anything going on, whether it be the move towards a cashless society, the definite effort, organized, coordinated effort on the part of the media to prepare us for a war with Iran as we demonize Iran, even though, of course, you're never hearing that we've been transferring nuclear technology to Pakistan so they can transfer it to Iran so they can build their bombs so we can justify having a nuclear war in the Middle East. And I think it's only a matter of time before it comes. And certainly we're going to see terrible famine throughout the world. But this is all prophesied, and certainly in the Revelation 6. And if you haven't read it recently, get it and start reading about the scrolls. Certainly, we recommend very strongly to our listeners that they get the 10 DVD series, The Final Countdown by Pastor Billy Crone, and we're carrying his book, which we think is excellent, because you want to not only watch the DVDs, but you want to read the scriptures and get the scripture references so you can begin talking intelligently to others about it. So you can get the 10 DVD set, part 1, part 2, or get both of them together, get the book, and start reading and studying. But more than that, we hope that many of you will want to come to our all-day seminar. We're going to have it on the 25th of October. We already, amazingly, have an excellent sign-up at this time. 25th of October, all day long, it's going to be serving lunch. You're going to have reservations. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, and we do hope that you're going to be able to come. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you, if you're in a position to help Radio Liberty so we can maintain our network of outlets, and we have about over 60 outlets of one sort or another every week. You can look at them all up on our internet site at radioliberty.com, but believe me, my wife has to pay the bills every month, and we aren't supported by anyone other than a few advertisers. They come, they go, but a few faithful ones, and then a lot of faithful people out there, but many of those faithful people have lost their jobs. So if you can step into the gap, why, our number, 1-800-544-8927. If you want to understand what's going on financially, you need to hear my talk on the financial tsunami and get the syllabus that goes with it, my talk on the financial Armageddon and the syllabus that goes with that. You need to get the talk that Ron Brown gave a couple of years ago on the bond market. That's the bond market. And you need to understand the relationship to the bond market and the stock market. We have a number of books. I recommend Meltdown by Thomas Wood, recent book, very well done, explaining why everything they're doing in Washington, D.C. is designed to make things worse. I don't think he understands that this is being done intentionally, but he certainly presents it very, very well. So you can understand economics, Economics 1A. And then, of course, we carry The Creature from Jekyll Island, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, The Money Creators, and then, of course, a book that was written back in 1899 called The Coming Battle, written by Mr. Walther, who said the banks are going to take over our country. Well, they have already taken over our country. I mean, where do you think Mr. Paulson came from? He was the former Secretary of the Treasury. Why, he came from Goldman Sachs. Where did Robert Rubin came from, Secretary of the Treasury? Why, he came from Goldman Sachs, and of course they all tie into the Trilateral Commission. Where did Timothy Geithner, the current Secretary of the Treasury, come from? Why, he came from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York City, and they're all tied in to the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, and the Brotherhood of Darkness. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Well, Dr. Stan back here for a second hour, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you that views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next hour, hopefully, they're going to be the views of Mary Starrett. And I see we don't have her cell phone. We should have her cell phone so we could call her. And perhaps, she should be with us very, very shortly. She may be a few minutes late. She was going to a meeting, and she warned me she might be late. But I wanted to have Mary on because we're going to be talking about what they're doing to our food supply. And you must understand that Monsanto is above the law. They're part of what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. They're part of the group that's storing the seeds, along with the Rockefeller family, the Rockefeller Foundation, and Bill Gates, who are totally dedicated to population control. And they're studying, they're actually storing food seeds up above the Arctic Circle, in caves and an island off one of the Scandinavian countries there, so that they will have the food seeds that they can utilize when they start in all over again. Their goal, in my estimation, and they haven't told me this, but it's the only logical explanation I can see, why else would these people who are so dedicated to population control be storing seeds so that they could have them at some time in the future? And why would Monsanto, which is, of course, part and parcel of this move to store the seeds, why are they destroying the crops across America? Now, how are they destroying the crops? Well, first of all, they've created a lot of genetically modified corn and soybeans and canola oil and cottonseed oil. And, of course, if you are a farmer and you want to actually, of course, you don't want to buy their seeds, you don't like genetically modified corn, you're concerned about it. It's expensive. But, of course, they tell you, oh, no, you need to have this corn because we put into it certain chemicals, certain genes, so that you can use our insecticide and pesticide, a deadly substance called Roundup. But you can actually spray your fields with Roundup, and it won't kill your corn crop. Well, because then you don't have to worry about, of course, tending the fields. Why? Of course, nothing can grow there but the genetically modified corn. But it's simply not the corn stalk that's genetically modified, but every kernel of corn you are going to eat contains the genes that they put into the corn seeds that create the crop. And, of course, these corn kernels actually create infertility and all sorts of health problems. They know exactly what they're doing. People who actually have, pig herds, hog herds, and fed them genetically modified corn, the pigs became infertile. And there was a story told by Jeffrey Smith, who's really studied this extensively, about a scientist over in Russia who was doing these studies and found that all the animals fed genetically modified corn. Many times you had to force feed them because the animals are smarter than the human beings. Chickens won't eat genetically modified corn, and many of the other animals won't eat it as well. So they force feed them, and they become infertile. And when this woman scientist went to her superiors and told them that they had to get the word out and to stop the spreading use of genetically modified food in Russia, why, she was called aside and told she would no longer be allowed to do her research, and she was not allowed to get the word out. It was all about population control. And that's what it's really all about, ladies and gentlemen. That's why they're storing the seeds. Well, give us a call if you'd like to at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we're waiting for our regularly scheduled guest, and it seems very, very difficult to imagine that anybody would want to destroy the integrity of our food supply. They've tried, of course, to genetically modify a number of other items of food, certainly the crooked neck squash, some of those are genetically modified, and of course, basically, of course, you look at the food, you can't tell the difference, you can't taste the difference. But I will tell you that the people over in Europe are frightened to death of genetically modified food. And there, of course, they ban genetically modified food in those countries. So what are they doing? Why, they're going to, of course, use over in Europe, they're going to use the vaccines, the swine flu vaccine, that contains a squalene substance that can create a deadly autoimmune disease. In fact, any time these products have been used, in large amounts, why, they've had epidemics of autoimmune disease. They've used these in our troops on a number of occasions. They used them in the 1950s in our military troops in a cold vaccine, that was a vaccine for colds, and of course they got so many people with degenerative neurological disease they had discontinued it. They use these same, they call them squalene vaccines. They used them in our troops during the First Gulf War, and I believe that is the largest reason why we have the Gulf War illness, but of course the government's going to deny it. But could you imagine them coming forward and saying, oh yes, we intentionally destroyed the lives and health of millions of Americans, servicemen. Well, it was hundreds of thousands, not millions. But there were several hundred thousand American boys whose lives were destroyed because of the Gulf War illness, and almost 80,000 as of a year ago. In January of the Gulf War veterans, almost 80,000 as of a year ago, last January, of the American veterans of the Gulf War are now not living. They're actually dead. We have they're monitoring this. They want to see what a great job they did. They want to see what's going to happen down the line to people who are given these screening adjuvants. Well, these are not legalized in the United States, and this will not be, at least as far as I can tell, in our swine flu vaccine, but they're going to put it in the European swine flu vaccine and give it to millions of people unnecessarily in Europe. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and we're waiting for our guest this evening, Mary Starrett. If you're out there in the listening audience, I'd like to give us a call. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Give us a call, and would like to talk to you until Mary arrives. But Mary was going to talk about genetically modified foods. And I think you have to understand that the studies, of course, that have been done show that it certainly has profound impact on fertility and certainly on the general health of people. And they know that, but the Federal Drug Administration, being in the pocket of Monsanto, is going right along with this, and they're allowing them to put out foods that are poisoning the American people. Now, to the end, we know that in Mexico, they were trying to explain to the farmers there that they shouldn't be using genetically modified food, and they actually began testing the food there to show the peasants, the farmers in Mexico, the difference between the regular corn and the genetically modified corn. But when they tried to show them, you know, and they had regular corn seeds and genetically modified, they found that they were all genetically modified. Well, we've got a guest on the line. I believe it's Barbara is calling in. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Is it possible that they're going to use genetically modified food to destroy the fertility and the health of the American people so they'll die slowly? An article today was pointing out that there are 35 million people in the world today with dementia. They expect that number to triple here in the next 20 years. But we have 4.4 million people with dementia. In the United States and China, with three times our population, has 5.5 million people with dementia. Why would China, with a population over almost four times our population, have only a million more people with dementia? Why, very simply, they don't get the advantage of the mercury-laden vaccines that we're giving in the form of the flu vaccine to all of our senior citizens. And, of course, that, of course, destroys their mind, leads to Alzheimer's disease, and they know that. They just don't want the American people to know that. They know how deadly the mercury poison is, the thimerosal in the influenza vaccines to our children. And so they took the thimerosal out of childhood diseases, and then they mandated it to be given to children, because it wasn't a childhood vaccine, it was an influenza vaccine, and they mandated it to be given to children starting at 6 months of age and to pregnant women, where it would do absolutely the most harm. If you want to document this to your satisfaction, we have a wonderful DVD. It's called Mercury Autism and the Global Vaccine Agenda by Dr. David Aob. And with that, you get a free CD-ROM that actually will give you literally thousands of pages of government documents where they make it very obvious they know exactly what's going on. They just don't want the public to know. And they're frightened to death that the public's going to find out that our Centers for Disease Control and our vaccine manufacturers and the FDA and the NIH are part of a conspiracy to poison the American people. Well, with that as a background, hi, Barbara. How are you doing? Do you have a question or comment?
Oh, I have a comment. I'm waiting for Mary Starrett to come on. I'm really looking forward to her program, to what she has to say. But for people who are buying fresh produce, We heard on a program that there is a way to find out, actually, by looking at the stickers on the produce itself. Each one of them has a sticker, and it begins in a certain number. And the three that I picked up on actually was the 9, the 4, and the 8. And 9 usually means that it is organic, which is 9 is fine. 4 means it's a regular product. It has not been modified in any way. So 4 is a boar. And 8 means that it has been modified in some way. So 8, I hate. And anything beginning with an 8, you don't want to buy. So it gives you some kind of something to follow as you're shopping that you can look at. And it's just 9 is fine, 4 is a bore, but 8 I hate. And anything that starts with an 8, you can, you know, be pretty sure that in some way it has been modified. And on each produce, be it fruit or vegetable area, there is to be a sticker that details what that is.
So 9 is fine, 4 is a bore, and 8 I hate.
So if you remember nothing else, 8 I hate.
All right, fine. Of course, you know, they've done everything they could to block and the efforts to actually let the American people know that the food is genetically modified. In fact, when this subject was brought up, one of the elitists got up and said, the American people aren't smart enough to understand. We can't let them know which foods are genetically modified. Why, they'd think there was something wrong with them. Well, an awful lot of Americans do think there's something wrong with them. The people of Europe think there's something wrong with them. And they have prevailed upon their legislatures not to permit the use of genetically modified foods in Europe, or any place that they are used. They have to be marked. They have to be labeled. What is really so frightening about that is, in retaliation, they're going to give them all the this H1N1 unnecessary flu vaccine, because the epidemic, I'm sure, will be over in Europe just as will be over in here by mid-October, as they start giving the unnecessary flu vaccine, because most people have contracted the disease and will be immune to it. But they're not going to tell the American people that. They're not going to tell the European people that. And they're going to give them a squalene-laden vaccine, and also, of course, a mercury-laden vaccine to poison them in reprisal, because they're objecting to go along with the elitist plan to poison them with genetically modified food. So thank you, Barbara. Thank you so very much for bringing that
out.
You're
welcome. And the interesting thing is that they're supposed to let you know if anything is genetically modified at this point. But it's also interesting to know that when any of the genetically modified foods are placed in front of, like rats or mice or, you know, other animals, they won't eat them because they know that there is something wrong with them. And, I think this tells us something that, you know, they can tell us all they want to that there's nothing wrong with them, but when...
Barbara, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Go right ahead.
Well, I don't know where you lost me, but I was just saying that many times when they put the modified foods in some way in front of, you know, like rats or mice or cows, or the animals won't eat them. They don't want to. So there is something, obviously, when animals refuse to eat these products, you have to understand that they obviously know something is wrong, and we should take note that anything that is genetically modified, we should not be eating.
In fact, I was reading just this last week several articles that pointed out that chickens won't eat genetically modified corn. And, you know, I hate to think that maybe the chickens are smarter than I am. Anyway, they inherently know that it's not good for you. Anything else, Barbara, before...
No, that's all. Thank you. I hope Mary gets called.
Mary is right on the line
wonderful.
Right now.
Wonderful. I'm looking forward to her.
I am, too. Okay. Well, hi, Mary. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I think we had our signals crossed. I was waiting on my cell phone. So, in any event, I'm glad to be with you. Sorry for the inconvenience.
All right. Are you on a regular hard line, or are you still on your cell phone?
No, I'm on my cell phone.
There's no way we can get to a hard line, is there?
I'll never make it in time.
All right, fine. Well, then you go ahead, because we'd far rather have Mary Storet on the cell phone than no Mary Storet at all. Tell us a little bit about your concern about genetically modified foods and what's going on.
Well, I think at this point we're concerned about the whole food safety issue, and that has to do with something which is now pending before the Senate, and that is the Food Safety Act. It was originally House Bill 2749. It was passed by the House, and now it goes to the Senate. And the reason we have to hope that it does not pass the Senate is because this will kick the legs out of every basic right we have to choose the kind of food we want to eat. Now, we shouldn't be surprised that the federal government is wanting access to our food, because if you look back in history, you've seen that whenever you have governments who want to control a populace, what is one of the very, very first things they do? They curtail your ability to get food. And all you have to do is look at the country of Zimbabwe. The country of Zimbabwe was actually exporting food to all of Africa. And then the government, Mugabe's government, got in there and wound up taking what he called the rebels, this rebel army, going around. They kicked the white farmers off the farm. They killed, they slaughtered the animals. And now Zimbabwe is the recipient of food aid, which, of course, the people aren't getting, because, as we all know, foreign aid to Africa winds up going to the despots and not to the people. But here we have this beautifully bountiful country where food was exported. Now there is not only not an abundance of food, but people are starving, and the country is completely been sent into chaos.
Well, you know, Mary, it's very difficult for people to imagine, but we're headed in that direction. Today in California, which is certainly the breadbasket for the world, really for the United States, the Central Valley of California, the most lush farmland in the world, is lying parched, and they blame it on a drought. It's not a drought. It's not a shortage of water. There's plenty of water. And they just will not let the farmers use it. They're protecting a 3-inch smelt, and they've destroyed the economy of the central part of California, and they're know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know that they want to, of course, destroy our food supply. And I certainly...
Well, that happened. That happened in Oregon several years ago.
Right.
The Klamath farmers were not allowed to have irrigation for their crops because we had to protect the federally endangered suckerfish, which is really a fish that can't be eaten. It has absolutely...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back with Mary Sturette. Mary, you go right ahead. You're talking about the club.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Do
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Safety legislation. Now that really sounds wonderful, except that it's going to give the Federal Drug Administration, the Food and Drug Administration, or is it the Food and Drug Administration? Is it the Federal Drug Administration or Food and Drug Administration?
It's the Food and Drug Administration. Yeah, the FDA. And if you like what they did with drugs, you're going to love what they do to our food.
And they're going to have control over the food supply, and they're going to be regulate all the food that's produced here in the United States. And Chris, did you ever wonder why a few years ago we had this big spinach stare? Three or four people got salmonella, and of course they had to track the salmonella back to where it came from. And salmonella, this is all part of the psychological games they play on our minds. People are always getting salmonella. I mean, you know, it's a very rare disease. I mean, it's a shame if it comes from spinach. But this is not the major problem. If you wash your spinach, you're not going to have problems. But what they're doing is creating fear. They market fear. And then they use that fear to get through legislation, unconstitutional legislation, illegal legislation, because it violates the very fabric of our society, the separation of church and state, and gives the federal government power over every aspect of our lives. And they want to control the food because they want to control the people. Would that be a fair assessment?
Well, I think that's a perfect assessment. And as you point out about, you mentioned the spinach recall and all of that. They're using the recent food recalls of the peanuts, the spinach, the beef. They're saying, look, this is just proof we need more controls over the food supply. And that, of course, anytime Washington, D.C. gets involved in supposedly looking out for our best interests, we have to remember to take what they're proposing and overlay it in the Constitution. So we take a look at this Food Safety Act. And we look at that and we realize that what this would do is in many respects, and it would do lots of things, but would now be empowered to go looking through the records of every farmer, every little organic farmer, every medium-sized farmer, any farmer whatsoever, and look to see if there's been a violation. So in other words, against the Fourth Amendment, because the Fourth Amendment was put in place by our founders for just such types of government agencies going on fishing expeditions. So the whole point is to improve the food safety on the global market. But what they really want to do, and even Business Week pointed out, that the FDA would now have unprecedented authority under this Food Safety Act to go around, dig through the business records of food producers, and the fees that would be added to a small farmer make it so that so many of these little organic farmers would have to shut down. So the recent video we've seen of Michelle Obama going around to the farmers markets is a little bit disingenuous, because a lot of these farmers are saying right now they could not possibly afford some of the fees that will be overlaid on top of their other regulatory costs if the FDA winds up getting this extra power. So we're saying right now for you to contact your state, your United States Senator, and say, the Food Safety Act, when it comes before you, you cannot vote for this because you are taking away my right to choose where I'm going to buy my food and what kind of food I'm going to buy.
Well, I think that we should encourage our listeners to certainly call their senators and say, you know, senators don't even read the legislation. They don't understand. I mean, they say this is about food safety. We want to protect the public. Well, we don't want their protection. I mean, all of these recalls have been carefully engineered and staged to justify ever more federal control over our lives. Where in the Constitution is there any right to do this? There isn't. But they say, but we're here to help. We're so concerned about the people. Yeah, certainly they're concerned about the people. I mean, you know, they've done everything they could with the AIDS epidemic to block the implementation of the effective public health measures that would save human lives. They couldn't vaccinate, you know, 156 million Americans for an epidemic that will have peaked out before they ever start giving the epidemic. They're giving certainly mercury-laden vaccines to our children. One in six children has a known, certainly, the learning or neurodevelopmental abnormality. Probably every child has been damaged because of federal government policies. One in nine children has asthma. You don't see this in the certainly in the Amish children, where they don't take the vaccines and prime their immune system. You know, certainly every one in 60 to 90 children, boys, has autism. Their lives are destroyed thanks to our federal government policies, and now we want them to control our food supply. Ladies and gentlemen, you've let these other things happen. Are you going to let them take away your food now as well?
Hold that,
Mary.
Okay.
Well, this our guest is Mary Starrett. Go right ahead, Mary.
Well, here at the Constitution Party, Dr. Stan, we are very concerned about these types of bills that have been, unfortunately, so many people have not been paying attention to what's been going on, that they don't even know that this is a piece of legislation that's pending before the Senate. And when you try to understand how something of this magnitude could have gotten past the House, could have passed the House without the American people knowing that their very food supply and access to food is threatened. It's as you mentioned, it's choreographed. It's orchestrated. In other words, right now everybody's jumping up and down and screaming and yelling about the health care plan. That nobody's paying attention to the fact that the Food and Drug Administration will have unprecedented powers to control our food supply. For instance, there is a bill. Now, it's already passed the House, as I said. It's now awaiting in the Senate. It's a frightening testament to what happens when we just don't look at what's coming out of D.C. This is a piece of legislation that would require anyone who produces food. Now, what does that mean? That's the local farmer. That could be you or me. If I decide I want to grow pumpkins, if I decide I want to grow tomatoes and sell them to my neighbor, that will add a new tax to any facility that produces food. Well, what is a facility that produces food or stores food? What could that be? Well, let's face it. We're talking about such broad categorizations. It could be your basement. It could be my storage shed. It could be the pantry. So what this does is it lays the groundwork for some scenarios that we have not seen in this country. All we have to do is look back to what happened during Stalin's regime. And many people don't know about what happened in the Ukraine. There's probably three times as many as are purported to have died in the Nazi Holocaust as what Stalin did in the Ukraine. It's an atrocity that had an enormous implications, and it was a deliberately engineered. What they wanted to do was starve out the country peasants. So you had Stalin's men going out into all the farms, and the farmers were working in a collective capacity. They were now being made to grow crops and turn them over to Stalin's regime. So what they tried to do was just to keep a little bit of grain back for themselves. So Stalin's men rounded up the families, they tore up the farms, tore down the barns, looking for the tiniest bits of any grain that was left so that these starving people, they were actually...
Hold that thought. We're back in a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Mary was talking about what happened in the Ukraine under Stalin. Now, what most people don't understand is Stalin was put in power by people in our government and kept in power. And those of you who have not yet read the book, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, Need to Get It, and the other book by Professor Sutton, the best enemies money could buy. In fact, my interview with Professor Sutton going into how we have helped and financed communism since its inception. We have a little pamphlet called The Communist Capitalist Alliance, where we quote extensively from Solzhenitsyn about how American capitalists and people of great wealth in the American government kept the communist regimes, the brutal communist regimes that were responsible for starving the Ukrainians there. 7 or 8 million of them died, starving them to death, but the Russians could never have done it without help from our government. Well, maybe it's going to be our turn now. Before we go on, Mary, I want you to go ahead and get out your webpage, tell people how people can get in touch with you and the Constitution Party, which is on the front lines of this battle to educate the American people.
We want people to check out these issues and others by going to constitutionparty.com. Or they can call our national office in Lancaster, Pennsylvania at 1-800-2-VETO-IRS. Or just go to constitutionparty.com, and we've got all kinds of articles and press releases. It's the fastest growing third party in the country, and as the trend forecasters are saying, there is a third party is going to wind up totally eclipsing the big box parties in the next election, because people have had it. People on both sides of the political spectrum are tired of what's being done in Washington, D.C., and if we don't make some changes now and get rid of everybody in Congress with very few exceptions, we're not going to be able to choose where to buy our food or if we can buy food, because the handwriting is on the wall with a piece of legislation called the Food Safety Act. So the Constitution Party is very concerned about this.
All right, fine. I want you to get out your website one more time.
ConstitutionParty.com, and click on Join Email Alerts, and we'll keep you up to date on the fastest growing party and what you can do to get involved locally.
All right, and it's the Food Safety Act that Mary's talking about. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But this is such an important issue, and this is why I wanted to talk about it. And basically, they want to control everything from Washington, D.C. They want to control what drugs you use. They want to control how much water you use. They want to control the type of air you breathe. And now they want to control the food. I mean, they already certainly have a tremendous influence on the type of car that you're going to drive, making demanded that they make less safe cars so that there far more people will be killed by accidents because the cars don't have the infrastructure, but they're lighter and they won't burn as much gasoline. There's no shortage of gasoline. The only reason there's a shortage of gasoline because the government has blocked the development of our massive oil resources. We have more oil in the United States in the shale, offshore, up in Alaska, up the north slope of Alaska, than any other country in the world. We have the largest natural gas supply, something like 2,300 trillion cubic feet of natural gas that we know of, and probably a lot more. This country is blessed with natural resources. Now, what are we doing? Why are we shutting the water off in the Central Valley to destroy the economy there, to destroy the farms? And they're going to drive up the price of food. And now they want to regulate everything from Washington, D.C. Because they're from the government, and they're there not to help us, but to destroy this nation, which they hate, and to bring together a situation where everything will be regulated and we will be controlled in a cashless society from the cradle to the grave. Well, why should we complain? We've done the same thing. We financed the destruction of the government in Zimbabwe. We financed the destruction of the stable government of South Africa. We financed the destruction, Sydney, of the stable government of Russia that existed back in 1917. And we brought the communists to power in China in 1949. If you doubt those things, get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or watch my talk on the Internet, Brotherhood of Darkness. And now they're going to begin to impose those controls here in America, starting with the food. Go right ahead, Mary.
Well, I think one of the other things that's of concern in this Food Safety Act, of course, it's always about our safety, but there's a provision in there that I wanted to point out, and this is directly from the text of the bill, the Food Safety Act. It says it has to be interoperable with the systems established and maintained by other such persons and use a unique identifier for each facility owned or operated by such person or purpose. So in other words, what that says is that every single facility that has anything to do with growing food, with raising animals for food, has to have a unique identifier, again, to be trackable. And that dovetails with the National Animal Identification System, and that was something that was proposed several years ago, which was, with the insanity about this, is it would require very expensive tagging of every single animal, every single goat, pig, cow, horse that Americans owned, and people railed against that for years. But this Food Safety Act would take the small independent farmer, take them out of business, and this would be another payback to big business, agribusiness, like those that just use genetically modified seeds, and we would be eating genetically modified food. So this Food Safety Act would basically be an assault on the little guy, the small farmer, which would be against our most basic freedom, and that is the freedom to grow and sell what we eat. So you've got, I even read about some farmers who make small little artisan farmers who make goat cheese, and they were looking at this and saying, we don't make enough money to comply with these regulations and with the money that this would cost. We're thinking of going to Australia. Well, I have to point out that there's a harmonization afoot, which would basically make every country have to be interrelated. It's a global march toward this harmonization. It erases borders. It eclipses sovereignty laws. So what we're asking at the Constitution Party, we're asking people to contact their legislators, their states, their senators, and say, listen, I don't need the federal government playing big brother and tracking, monitoring, watching over my food safety. I will be the arbiter of my food safety, and I don't want the small guy put out of business to give agribusiness basically a monopoly over our food supply. And remember that once a farmer, now with these genetically modified seeds, they do not replicate. So a farmer has to go back to groups like Monsanto or to any of these seed companies and buy seeds every year instead of saving their seeds like they've done from the beginning of time to use again these heirloom seeds. So it really is one of the things that we have to look at, is that it's from the very beginning in every aspect of food, farming, processing, that the Food Safety Act will do nothing of the sort to keep us safe. It will do everything to make sure that we're not safe.
Well, I certainly concur, and I share in your concern. Well, let's go to Mario, and let's see what Mario. Hi, Mario, calling again from Flint, Michigan. Do you have a question or comment, Mario?
Yes, I wanted to. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to ask the guest, is there a close parallel between the way that the federal government is taking control of the food industry and the government's relationship with the drug industry or the pharmaceutical industry.
It's all one big happy family. I think there are very strong ties between the people who control people like Monsanto and the people who control the pharmaceutical industries. We know that Monsanto is going in with the Rockefeller Foundation and Bill Gates on the food storage up above the Arctic Circle. And we know the Rockefeller Foundation certainly is intimately tied with many of the major pharmaceutical industries. And I'm sure if we had the time, we could find all sorts of ties between the major people, you know, the Tyson Food and certainly the major food manufacturers, and certainly the major seed modifiers, GMO food people, and the pharmaceutical industry. What do you think, Mary?
Well, just as an example, you're talking about the FDA. The FDA, the incest in the federal government and the pharmaceutical industry is well documented, that people who work in the pharmaceutical industry oftentimes go to work for the FDA, and they, of course, will fast-track drugs that have no business being fast-tracked. So if you want to take a look at the number of drugs that have been recalled by the FDA, they have no business being on the market, but again, it's payback to the pharmaceutical industry. And the other thing is that if you take a look at what's going on with, for instance, mercury, you were talking about mercury. Mercury is a dangerous compound that is in our vaccinations, and it's in amalgam fillings. And mercury is just not something that we want in our mouths, and we don't want it coursing through our veins, i.e. as a preservative in vaccinations. And that's exactly what we have. So why is it that the Food and Drug Administration is looking the other way at known carcinogens in drugs, at known compounds like mercury, which is toxic to the system, and why we tell people don't eat fish, and yet we pound mercury into their fillings, and we put mercury into their vaccines. So the Food and Drug Administration recently refused to acknowledge that mercury was in any way dangerous. And yet, if you look at other countries, they have removed, they've taken the thimerosal, the mercury-containing thimerosal preservative, out of vaccines. We haven't done it in this country. We haven't outlawed the use of amalgam fillings, which are 51% elemental mercury, which is the reason we have so much autism. We have so many brain disorders. We have so many diseases that never existed before. Why? Because the Food and Drug Administration has turned the other way to allow big business. In fact, there's somebody high up at the FDA who has profited financially from the mercury amalgam filling interests that they had, and yet, you know, in other words, we know it's a dangerous substance, and yet we're going to look the other way because amalgam in fillings is a big business. So they want to take this whole industry and make it go away, especially when they're all profiting. So yeah, the Food and Drug Administration, not only are they going to take what they did with drugs and continue to do it more so, i.e. with the approval of the swine flu, for instance, the H1N1 vaccine, which is a really highly toxic vaccine. They were given the fast track. They're saying, oh, this is a vaccine that's been highly tested. No, it has not been tested to the degree that it should be. Nevertheless, that's what's going to happen with our food if we do not take a proactive approach and contact our senators and say, when it comes up for a vote on the Food Safety Act, you better be voting no, or you will not be reelected.
All right, Maria, does that answer your question?
Yeah, it sure did. You know your stuff.
Well, that's why I have Mary on here. She's one of my favorite guests. Go right ahead.
Thank you both. Thank you so much. But again, the Constitution Party is clear that these are the types of issues which we really need to take a look at. This Food Safety Act goes right to the heart of the Fourth Amendment, where they can come in and start rifling through your records even if you've done nothing wrong.
Well, I think all of these things are frightening. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. I was just reading, of course, there was an announcement today that came out that there are 35 million people with dementia in the world. And then, of course, they were saying, well, a lot of people think that there's a lot more than that. They say that there are 4.4 million people with dementia here in the United States, but there's only 5.5 million people in China with four times our population. Why would that be? I mean, aren't we the healthiest people in the world? And the answer is no. They're poisoning the older people. Actually, the Alzheimer's Foundation here in the United States says the figure is probably 5.5 million people with Alzheimer's disease. And what's really so tragic is I've seen some of my friends develop Alzheimer's disease. One doctor, a very good friend of mine, got Alzheimer's disease and recently died. But you must understand, it's all about population control, because when people get dementia and Alzheimer's disease, they die, and they really want to kill them off. I mean, it's a lot cheaper to kill them off so that they don't have to provide Social Security, so they do not have to provide Medicare and other benefits for them. And they feel, well, of course, if they can poison them, they know what they're doing. They just don't want us to know. And if you doubt that they really do intend to kill people, that they hate these ideas put forward in the Hippocratic Oath, you need to read Mary McCoffney's letter. It's on the Internet, on Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel. Just go to your search engine and put in Dr. Emanuel, Sydney Hippocratic Oath, Wall Street Journal, and read Betsy McCoffney's article there. And she was former lieutenant governor of the state of New York. And she goes, Dr. Emanuel's openly written about how terrible the Hippocratic Oath is. Why? Because it requires doctors to look after the health of their patients. Ladies and gentlemen, this man is, of course, he is the chief medical advisor to the President of the United States today, and he hates the Hippocratic Oath. Well, Sydney, our guest is Mary Starrett, and what sort of reaction are you getting? You wrote an excellent article on News Reviews. Incidentally, anybody who wants to get the background of the legislation, Mary has a letter up on News Reviews. Just scroll down to her name and read the article. Very important, but go right ahead.
The article is titled HR, just go to newswithviews.com, and if you just click on my name on the left, my last name is spelled Starrett, and click on my name, or you can go to constitutionparty.com under articles, issues, press releases. The article is called HR 2749, the Food Safety Act, the Pale Horse. And the reference to the pale horse, obviously, is in Revelations. The Bible warns us that a pale horse, which will be straddled by a rider called Death, will actually decimate a quarter of the earth's population through hunger. So when we wonder how these things will be achieved, take a look at something like the Food Safety Act, and we can see how in our very own country that would be achieved, when hunger will be one of the problems that we have to face, and it's going to be of biblical proportions, and that's why we need to get politically active and stop looking to the Republicans or the Democrats, because they're doing the same thing. They're just going at it at different speeds and in different ways, but their agenda is the same, which at the Constitution Party, we say if it's not mandated in the Constitution, then the federal government has absolutely no business doing it. And we're clear on that, and our founders were clear on that as well.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Mary Starrett.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We know America is changing, but most of the changes that are taking place seem to be designed to take away our freedom. And what can you do to remedy the current situation? Well, you can become informed, and one of the best ways to become informed is to subscribe to Republic Magazine, because that magazine provides the information that's suppressed in most other news magazines. If you want to oppose the effort to establish a one-world government, if you want to preserve freedom here in the United States and throughout the world, I suggest you subscribe to Republic Magazine, and you can do that by calling 1-800-873-1620. That's 800-873-1620, or access their website at www.republicmagazine.com. That's republicmagazine.com. I suggest you get extra copies for your family and your friends.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Thank you so much for being with us. We'll look forward to having you on again real soon, okay?
Thanks, Dr. Stan.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay,
fine. Bye-bye.
That was Mary Starrett, and she does a great job. She's totally dedicated. She's certainly given up her radio and other source of income to be the press representative of the Constitution Party, and you can tell how deeply she feels about the Constitution, and certainly about this food issue, which I think is a very important issue. And your job is to get hold of your senators and let other people know that now the next thing you want to do, of course, is destroy our food supply. There is no problem facing America today that a new government program won't make worse. You need to understand what's behind all of this. Population control. They want to create famine in America, but they can't tell us that. They just intentionally destroyed one of the wealthiest and most beautiful countries in Africa. It was done with your tax dollars. We brought Mugabe to power in Rhodesia. We've kept him in power in Rhodesia, and we are keeping him in power today. But it's just humanitarian aid. Who could be against humanitarian aid? Who could be against food safety? But they use words to conceal what they're doing. Humanitarian aid is a justification for giving food and supplies to Mugabe so he can sell them and keep himself in power. Food safety is simply a vehicle for destroying the availability of food in the United States. Are you going to sit by and do nothing? Are you going to get involved in this epic struggle that we are involved in for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization? You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and get them in large numbers. We'll cut the price down as far as we can. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness. It's recently been republished, and of course, it's being featured by a number of Christian ministries, and of course, it's getting out across America. We need, of course, for you to certainly go to our website at radioliberty.com. We need for you to certainly see my talk or watch my talk on the forbidden secret, and then my talk on the financial Armageddon. If you watch my talks on the Brotherhood of Darkness, the Forbidden Secret, and the financial Armageddon, you'll know more than most college professors. Certainly, if you want to watch things on DVD, dramatic ones, my talks are on DVD, but certainly if you want to see dramatization, Chris Pinto's wonderful Secret Mysteries Theory series, that is three DVDs, you can get them separately or together, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, going into the secret societies that were here when America was founded, and there were secret societies there, and they're still here. In fact, the secret society in America was the Rosicrucians. They have their temple over in Santa Fe, just over the hills from where we are today. And, of course, they emphasize the all-seeing eye, their major symbol, and you'll see it on the back of the American dollar bill, because it is certainly an emblem that was used by the Masons and the Rosicrucians and the Templars. It has been used by the disciples of the mystery religions since the time of antiquity. And then, of course, you need to, of course, hear the 10 DVD set by Pastor Billy Crone, Final Countdown, because he dramatizes what's going on from the prophetic point of view. And of course, actually, if you, the 10 DVDs, part 1, part 2, but you'll see the scriptures, you'll see the videos that he includes in his sermons, and then of course you'll hear him talking, and you can learn. We carry his book, and we stress getting the book if you can, because of course it's got the information in it that you will need, so that you can discuss this intelligently and share it with others. So again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Don't forget our all-day seminar at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course on the 25th. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival. But pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection until tomorrow at the same time. May the Lord be with you.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. Today is the second day of September. Thank you for joining us. The year is 2009, and what a mess we are in. Oh, my goodness. It's almost as if you don't want to know what the news is. It's kind of like, don't tell me about that train coming down the track. Just let me go for a walk on the tracks. It's really getting to be hard to figure out what they're doing. And, of course, they're making it difficult so that when they wag the dog, the tail that is wagging the dog just continues to wag and wag and wag, and we don't even know what the original story was many times. Well, we're going to be talking about some of the original stories as well as what's happening today. The H1N1 flu, I hate to tell you this, but the announcement is it appears to be morphing. They've always said all along, if this flu morphs, their term for changes into something more deadly, it could be different than the flu we had before, the H1N1 we had before. It appears to be morphing, I am sorry to say. And it looks as though one college now has 350 students now sick from the alleged flu. But then do we really know if it's the alleged swine flu because they're not testing any longer? Explain that one to me. Why would you not test for something you're afraid is going to be a pandemic? Because you don't want any true numbers, or because it's past the point of being able to count the numbers, and why waste the money on the testing? I don't know the answer to that one. In the news also, in the television news, remember this gentleman, Mr. Al-Megrahi, that was released to Libya by Scotland so that he could go home and die of prostate cancer? Well, he appears today in television with an oxygen mask on and appears to be dying. Do we know what the underlying story of that could be? Also, did you hear about the guards that were caught sleeping the George Washington Bridge? And do you know who caught them sleeping? That's part of a story we don't want to forget about. The stock market dropped yesterday 185 points.
It's starting its downward spiral, as far as I'm concerned. I talked to Bob Chapman when the stock market started going down, and he is not very positive at all. I talked to another individual. He also says, get ready for the 1,000 Dow.
Isn't there always a correction after, you know, it's like a 10% correction after a big
usually,
jump?
Usually, yeah.
So mm-hmm. We're due for it.
We're due for
a correction.
More than a correction, yeah. I'm afraid, unfortunately. And China now says that they're going to move to the yuan. They want to globalize the yuan. Now, is this just the beginning of the devaluation of the dollar or the move to another form of currency? I don't know, but I think that is going to be the goal. The yuan, spelled Y-U-A-N, would be the obvious thing since China pretty much owns the United States, since we have sold our soul to them. Monsanto, guess what? They're in Iraq and Afghanistan now. Big time. They're taking over the world food. And answer me this one. Why is the agricultural director of Afghanistan not only coming to visit Missouri, to those that don't want to be offended, but also coming to visit the National Guard in Missouri? We'll talk about that one. We need to discuss some of the historical facts and figures about the failures of vaccines. Do you know when vaccines were started? How long they've been attempting to try and increase the health of the individual by doing just the opposite? And we didn't talk yesterday about the arrest threat over the Obama Joker poster. I think that's news. Arresting somebody for having a t-shirt on or a sign. And the statins cause serious muscle damage. And guess what? There's another quarantine order, and we've got major news on the quarantine order story coming out of Iowa, thanks to our listeners. We'll be right back after this 3-minute break. Stay tuned. We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually